Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. This story about the pet situation here. 6,500 plus people's pets may be involved in this story. I mean, this is going viral around the country, by the way.
This was announced by the State Attorney General, Dave Sunday. And it's a remarkable, just remarkable story. What do you say? I mean...
And this funeral home owner is 70 years old. Investigators talked with employees and were told that no pets weighing under 60 pounds were taken to the crematorium, that they would take the small pets to a different place, according to a criminal complaint. And this man is accused of writing what authorities call daily list of animals' names and transport dates to the crematorium. And no animals under 30 pounds had tag numbers from the crematorium. And many of these pets ended up allegedly in landfills. Bottom line is, even people that got their cremains didn't know at the time, but they weren't necessarily their pets.
I assume that this was going on because of the cost of cremation to the provider. And I guess that was the decision that was made to, you know,
it does beg
make more money or save money, one of those things.
Yeah. I mean, it would be
that's what it all boils down to. Why would somebody go to that length, you know?
It would be a cost savings.
Yeah. Oh, terrible.
Therefore, the question that I have is, how do you know? How would you know anyways?
Well, you wouldn't. You just have to trust that, you know, people are doing, you know, when you entrust, I mean, here's how it works. When you lose a pet, you know, like when I lost Ginger, I took her to the veterinarian and we put her to sleep. And then I left her with Animal General, where, you know, Dr. Mike and his son had been caring for Ginger for many years. And I trust them completely. And I trust they're doing business with people who are trustworthy when they, you know, come pick up my dog's remains and cremate them. And when I get them back, I have no question. And now what happened here with this guy is a lot of people are asking the question, hey, what about me? Have I got a problem too? And if you want to know about that and check into it, there's a link on our front page at kdkradio.com where you can do some searching and find out more information from the Attorney General's website. It's just heartbreaking. It's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's attorney.general.gov/EPM. But they're just cautioning, considering the number of people impacted, or over 6,500 people, at least what they know now, that it's going to be very challenging to try to get you answers on what happened to your pet.
And it took time for this to be found out. I mean, 6,500 pets, that's covers a lot of time, right?
And there have been these stories. I know somewhere in the South, the state and town escaped me, but there was a funeral home doing this with people, if you can imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, periodically, these kind of things happen. So we'll keep you posted, but that is the resource if you want to get additional information. attorney.general.gov/EPM.
Or if you want, you can just go to kdkradio.com. That's the easy way out.
Meanwhile, 100 days for the president, and he'll spend that apparently with General Motors folks talking about tariffs and their impact in their case.
There's talk of
they're liking it.
Easing the 25% tariff on foreign cars, trucks, SUVs, and parts.
I'm sure that'll be part of the discussion. And then here locally, a lot of people surprised by Penn's coach Mike Sullivan parting ways with the team when just days before Kyle Dubas, the general manager and acting president, said he was going to be their coach.
Yeah, I mean,
so what changed?
Sullivan himself said he expected to be back next year. What did change?
It's a great question.
The backstory on that would be interesting to hear, but I think Dubas kind of gave us a pretty good indication that he was having thoughts about this before, during the actual regular season, that he'd gone back and forth on maybe it is time for a change. And and you know, my initial reaction, I don't know about you, but my initial reaction was this is not a reflection on Mike Sullivan's coaching ability.
No.
It's mediocre performance from the team that they placed around a superstar named Sidney Crosby.
Correct.
And Mike Sullivan is going to be successful, probably very successful, might even win a couple more cups in his next destination. I hope he picks well and does well because he's a terrific coach.
And for those who forget, Michelle Therrien was replaced by Dan Bylsma, who won a Stanley Cup for the team.
Who was replaced by Mike Sullivan.
Who won two cups for the team.
Badger Bob was replaced by Scotty Bowman, easily the greatest coach in NHL history.
So
they've had some of the best here in Pittsburgh.
Actually, Mike Sullivan lasting for 10 years is an anomaly in the NHL.
Yeah, right. I mean, usually you hear that they're gone after three or four seasons, tops.
Some teams change coaches like they change underwear. So we'll see who's next, who's coming in.
Well, that's the question now, isn't it?
Will it be Rick Tocchet?
Kind of a favorite local choice, right?
Yeah, we'll see. And we'll keep you posted here. Yeah, take us with you wherever you go. AUDACY. It's a great resource. And when you search the KDK page, you're going to see a little microphone there. And we want to hear from you. Pretty simple technology, pretty easy to use. Democratic primary debate on the Big K Morning Show starts at 9:30 on May 8th, so that's next Thursday, and you have a chance to ask the candidates question. Incumbent Mayor Ed Gainey and the challenger Corey O'Connor. Go to the Audacy app, AUDACY. It's actually a tremendous resource. Mention Donald Trump's 100 days. He is scheduled to speak at a National Guard Air Base in Michigan before holding a rally in Warren, Michigan to celebrate the first 100 days of his second tenure. Also on the list of things happening today locally, this Pittsburgh Regional Transit set of hearings at the David Lawrence Convention Center with the potential massive cuts due to budget issues. You could be talking about a reduction of routes of 35% in some cases, which would be game changers for people that utilize this every day.
One of the things that I learned about funding for public transit in this, as this story has developed, Larry, is that public transit is not funded by fares. What the people pay to ride on the buses and the T, that is not enough, not even nearly enough to run the agency. That it's been funded by, and across the country, it's funded by taxpayers through state and local governments. So the issue really is getting more money from the state or right-sizing PRT. And at the same time, now what we're hearing from Jay Costa, the state senator, is he's talking about bringing the region's transit together in one agency. I don't know if that would be helpful or not. I don't know enough about it. But what I do know is that the people at PRT have done a very good job of sounding the alarm about not enough money coming down the road.
Oh, they want to hear people's feedback. I think, Aaron, as you pointed out,
I mean, there have been multiple releases and in media events about, you know, for them to get this message out.
Yeah, because they want to, I would imagine, make sure it's on the radar, speaking of government officials, to fund the process. Right, Aaron?
Yeah, I was saying that to Larry earlier. I caught myself and was like, wow, they want feedback, which is great.
Right, they're not hiding from it.
No.
No, I think that the three sessions that have been set up are going to magnify what PRT has been saying already. And hopefully the reverberations they think will, you know, be heard in Harrisburg, where that's where something has to happen.
So that's happening at the David Lawrence Convention Center today in two sessions. And it'll be interesting to see. And you can imagine the feedback, because people rely on public transportation for so many obvious reasons.
I mean, I would prefer to drive my vehicle to a park and ride location somewhere in southern Butler County and hop on a light rail that would come down here to Pittsburgh. I would love to be able to do that, but you know, it's not available. And during the hours at which I commute, it's inconvenient, if not impossible.
It would actually be great if they could take a light rail system to the north, to the west.
Out to the airport.
To the east. So far, we only have the rail goes south.
Yeah.
And people living in Dormont, for instance, that's gold to have access like that, to jump on a light rail system and get downtown. My buddy Jimmy Crenn jokes, we're the only city in the world that has like a one-block subway.
But you know,
it's a little more than that.
But it is convenient. I mean, I've used it in the past to park elsewhere and either get downtown or the opposite, vice versa.
How about this stand-up comedian, completely unrelated, talking about what if marriages were like NBA contracts?
What?
His new idea is you get a 4-year deal with an option to renew. You enter into free agency or re-sign for another 4 years.
And guess who would be getting married if that was a thing? Everyone. We can revisit in every 4 years? What in the world?
I think people are pretty good at revisiting as things stand right now based on the divorce rate.
That's a good point, Paul. Jeez.
By the way, it's International Dance Day. Did you know that?
What dance are you going to perform for us, Larry?
The Funky Chicken.
Oh, wow. I feel like there's so many dance days, either that or they come quick. But no, I actually didn't know that.
It's also World Wish Day. Make a wish. Nope, we're all still here. Morning. No worries about severe weather this morning. However, out to the west, there is the opportunity. So we go live to our National Weather Service office here with meteorologist Jason Frazier. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you doing?
Good. We saw the storms produce some really nasty weather out to the west. So what is the potential this afternoon for severe weather here?
Yeah, so the region and the Allegheny County is under a enhanced risk for severe weather as we expect a cold front to approach the area and eventually a line of showers and thunderstorms developing and moving across the region. Right now, we're looking at all kind of hazards being a potential damaging wind, large hail, and maybe even a tornado. But all of those, at this time, we're leaning towards a higher probability of seeing damaging wind gusts with these storms. What does that mean? It means that we could see wind gusts greater than 60 miles per hour that could produce down trees, down power lines, maybe power outages because of that sort of action. So something to be prepared for and to kind of continue to monitor the latest watches, warnings, advisories for folks in the area.
And you're the office that posts those for our region, right?
That is correct, yes. So we'll be having a lot of staff here in office to monitor those radar conditions, monitor the latest environmental conditions, and using various social media outlets to just kind of continue to alert people how things are changing, evolving, because storms can always kind of develop and proceed and maybe a little bit different than we realize. And so we want to keep people alerted to what those changes are and what to continue to expect as we go through the afternoon and evening.
I'm curious, Jason, we've had this situation where, well, yesterday was just picture perfect. Today we go to 82 with potential for severe weather. Tomorrow's high, just 70, then back up to 80, then down all the way to the upper 50s for highs on Saturday, right?
Yes, it's kind of a little bit of a roller coaster week. I mean, it feels kind of like what we sometimes see with spring, where like one day is this, one day is that. We're bouncing all over. And because of that volatility of those temperatures and a changing of air masses, that's kind of allowing us to have maybe a potential for a severe weather day. And we're also kind of keeping an eye out, maybe a lower probability, not as strong of a potential, but we don't want to rule out maybe some more activity with thunderstorms on Thursday. So it's an active week. Cool weekend, but that can be spring here across the upper Ohio River Valley.
Jason, appreciate the update. Thanks.
Thank you.
Meteorologist Jason Frazier from the National Weather Service office in Pittsburgh. Nice job, Aaron. Guy knows his stuff, you could tell.
Oh, for sure. He just rattled it off.
Confident.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's going to be this afternoon. You don't have to worry about that this morning for this morning's commute. Today, the 100th day for Donald Trump's second term, and how will he spend the day, and what is the feedback? This has been something they've looked at with every president dating back quite a few. CBS's Jared Hill.
Well, President Trump ran on the economy. He ran on lowering prices. Now, 100 days in, which is this arbitrary marker that goes back to FDR, Americans are mixed on whether President Trump is delivering, and there's decreasing certainty about whether he has a plan on trade. Today, President Trump is preparing for a victory lap, celebrating 100 days in office with a rally in Michigan, home to the nation's big three automakers. The trip, as reports say, as Commerce Secretary indicates, the administration is set to ease the 25% tariffs on car companies, something the president hinted at earlier this month.
I'm looking at something to help some of the car companies.
The president of General Motors praised President Trump's leadership, but new CBS News polls show more than 60% of Americans are concerned the president is too focused on tariffs and not enough on lowering prices. 53% of respondents feel the economy is actually getting worse.
Donald Trump is crashing the economy.
Congressional Democrats are seizing on the president's sliding poll numbers, which he dismissed as fake news. The Trump administration is also claiming wins on the border, lining the driveway of the White House with signs of people they say were unauthorized immigrants arrested over the past 100 days. 56% of people who responded to a recent CBS News poll approve of the president's plan to deport immigrants who enter the country illegally, but only 49% like what he's doing with immigration as a whole.
If you're illegal in the United States, this message is for you. You cannot hide from ICE.
Yesterday, President Trump signed executive orders aimed at blocking federal funding for sanctuary cities and requiring truck drivers to speak English. Staying on immigration, the number of daily border apprehensions is down 94% compared to this time last year. Some other interesting stats, though, from the CBS News poll, most Americans support limits on Trump's powers as president, and most think he should get back to working with Congress on passing policy through legislation rather than executive order. Those EOs are an easy way to get a lot of points on the board early in the game, but the question is, will that sustain his presidency?
CBS is Jared Hill, so we'll see how the day goes on this 100th for Donald Trump. And coming up in our 8 o'clock hour, we'll talk to our resident political analyst.
White News Desk, 70-year-old Patrick Vera, the owner of Vera Funeral Home and Eternity Pet Memorial, is accused of swindling more than 6,500 customers by dumping their pets' remains in a landfill and giving them the ashes of other animals.
Between 2021 and 2024, Mr. Vera neglected his duty of care by deliberately and repeatedly betraying his customers who wanted a dignified service for their beloved dog or cat.
Hard to believe that 6,500 plus people and their past pets are involved.
Well, actually, more than that, Larry, because everyone who had a pet cremated recently is immediately alarmed and checking the facts to see if they're one of the 6,500. So the victims are far greater than just the ones who are directly affected. A wind gust, 60 miles an hour, maybe today, and some hail. Very small risk of an isolated tornado, but rough weather's ahead. What's your rating on this from 1 to 5 this morning, you said earlier?
We just talked to meteorologist Jason Frazier from the National Weather Service in the postings.
This is the Big Game Morning Show. Larry Richard with really anchorman Paul Rasmussen. We'll be watching closely the potential for
even
severe weather this afternoon. Make sure you tune in with Colin Dunlap. 2 to 6 later today.
Right now, of course,
wanted to follow up with the University of Pittsburgh professor Craig Kaplan,
Penn's coach Mike Sullivan
of biological sciences.
Need to become faster.
And he joins us to talk about the
those are the core
changes for the National Institutes of Health cutbacks.
Many people
that have occurred
recently. Days ago,
professor, good morning.
Sullivan was a lock.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
When we first talk, there was a conversation about we knew cuts were coming. Everything was frozen in that moment,
ahead.
Correct?
And now we speculate about who the next coach is
going
to be.
And now we're seeing slowly or
Sullivan,
maybe not so slowly in some cases, the changes. So
he's going to have another job.
What are the latest? As of Friday, I heard there were more cuts.
Kyle Dubas just said that we played moments ago.
So what it's just came out was basically a leak of the Trump budget proposal for the NIH going forward. That's the National Institutes of Health. And what was proposed was a 40% cut across the board for the NIH budget.
Which at the university is substantial, correct?
Yeah, so at the University of Pittsburgh, that would probably be about $350 million of research funding. And of course, you know how many hospitals we have and how many clinical departments. And as you know, that 99% of FDA-approved drugs have NIH funding. So this is a huge effect. This is going to really kill the U.S. leadership position.
And especially here where we talk about the EDs and MEDs in the region and the medical community and the research substantial. So is it laid out in any way, shape, or form why, or is it, you said, straight across budget cuts across the board? How do you decide who gets what?
Well, that's going to be really up in the air. And I can't get too political with you, but I think the idea is because academic institutions are the ones that do all this research, this money is thought as a way of leverage to get them to potentially do some things the Trump administration wants. But it's going to hurt so many people. There's no way to make a rational decision when you're going to cut 40%. And I want to tell you, even though this budget is proposed, these cuts are sort of happening now because NIH is not spending their congressionally approved money now for this year's budget. And if they don't spend it by the end of the fiscal year, which is the end of September, there's a chance that Congress could be like, oh, we'll just send the money back, which means money that was supposed to be spent that everybody's counting on to do clinical trials, to do breakthroughs, to hire people, to keep their labs going, that money's just going to disappear because they're not getting it out the door. They can't get it out the door fast enough because so many people have been fired.
Craig, I'm curious to know, earlier we found out that the initial cuts were for administrative costs related to research. Now we're finding out about this leak about the NIH cut of 40%. How much of this money that you're referring to, this $300+ million, how much of that is of the $660 million that the University of Pittsburgh receives in grant money? Is that all part of this? Is that all part of that pool?
Yeah, right. So, it's that pool. Like, right. So, if University of Pittsburgh receives $650 to $700 million, mm-hmm. they'll drop down just based on the fact that there's a cut 40% across the board for the NIH budget, or more. I mean, the pit departments at the medical school now are trying to prepare. Every single department has to put in budgets with a 20% cut for their operating costs to potentially stay ahead of the government cuts to administrative costs that you mentioned. But everything's kind of in a slow motion. We're waiting for the crash because there's going to be no way to be able to overcome this.
So, Professor, what is the collective thought process going on among your colleagues? How are you pushing back? And I'm sure you are.
Well, there have been a few small victories. For example, the FDA cut tons of food inspectors, and people were like, hey, that's a bad idea. And then there was a statement that, oh, wait, we're going to rehire some of these people. That has happened in a few cases, but right now we really need Congress to act to protect their investment in the NIH, which they've supported for 70 years. That's the only way that this can be stopped, is if Congress decides that our health is important.
And are you hearing back from congressional leaders of the region?
I would say no. Our senators are very difficult to get a hold of. I don't know if Senator McCormick even has a policy statement on his website about any of this. He previously hadn't. When this happened, some professors went and visited his office, and they were able to talk to him at a function, and he said he didn't have a healthcare staffer and he wasn't aware that these things were happening. Now, that was a couple of months ago, but that doesn't give me confidence that these our representatives are really going to be able to fight for us.
Craig, this cut you're talking about, a 40% cut in spending at NIH, who ultimately has to sign off on this, Congress, or is this an administration responsibility?
Oh, Congress has to sign off because many of these funds are mandated. But what could potentially happen is if the money isn't spent, that's the Trump administration impounding funds, which is illegal. Congress can make it right for them by just saying, we vote to send the money back. Like, the money back into the main pool away from NIH. And that potentially could happen if the money doesn't get spent because they've slow rolled everything. What can happen is it just takes a 50% vote of Congress to say you can take the money back. And then that's it. Then the cuts will be in. And normally that doesn't happen because the budget, a normal budget requires, 60% in the Senate, and senators historically have really supported the NIH, which has been to the benefit of all of us.
Well, keep us posted, Professor Craig Kaplan, who is a biological sciences expert at the University of Pittsburgh, and let us know if you hear anything in addition. Thanks for your time today, and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
This time, I really look forward to introducing you to another medical professional and learn so much each and every week. Brought to you by Independence Health System Expert Care here and today. We welcome Dr. Alexander Fleming with Independence Health System Sports Medicine and Concussion Management Program. He's an expert in that area. We hear a lot about that and have over the years. And Doc, we can see you on the radio via our live stream. Brought to you by Metropolitan Windows. You can go to kdkradio.com and see Dr. Fleming. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today, Larry?
Doing well. And with the warmer weather, a lot more people are outside. A lot of young people, obviously, active in sports. We've heard a lot about concussions over the years, and we have found that Pittsburgh really is leading the way when it comes to how to handle concussions. And I understand it varies greatly. So let's start with, what are signs and symptoms of a concussion?
Yeah, so concussions, when you break it down to the simplest area, are basically having some type of trauma to the head and then having symptoms afterward. And then the symptoms that you're usually looking for are headache, neck pain, changes in vision. Sometimes it's light sensitivity, sometimes it's sound sensitivity. You can also feel dizziness afterwards. Sometimes it can be some behavioral changes, sleep changes, or some emotional changes too. So those kind of vary over the first 72 hours after having some head trauma about when some of those symptoms come on. But usually it's within those first 72 hours where you're looking for some of those signs and symptoms.
And I think when people hear head trauma, it might be obvious if you've taken some kind of hit to the head, but it's not always just that, is it?
Correct. Exactly. A lot of times it can be the whiplash where your head doesn't strike anything, but it's kind of the back and forth quick changes in direction and motion that can lead to the impact of the brain on the cranium, since the brain's kind of suspended in cerebrospinal fluid inside the skull. So it doesn't, like you said, always require something where you hit your head in order to sustain a concussion as well.
So when someone comes to you, Doc, or your team, and they say, I think I have a concussion, what is the process that you go through to determine if they've had a concussion and to what level of severity?
So usually have them come in and begin with some testing. The one test that we typically use on the vast majority of our patients is the IMPACT test. So IMPACT is an acronym that stands for Immediate Post-Concussion Assessment and Cognitive Testing. It's something that I believe was developed at UPMC and we use as well at Independence Health to basically test five different domains: verbal memory, visual memory, visual motor speed, which is kind of processing speed, reaction time, and impulse control in a computer-based exam. Just gives us a lot more objective measures for a lot of the things that we're evaluating in patients. There's also a physical exam component where I'm examining the patient's eye movements. It's called a vestibular ocular motor screening. And then also going through their symptoms and discussing how they might have come on or when they might have come on related to their initial head injury, making sure proper imaging was done to rule out more serious cases and make sure that we're not missing anything major with the neck and head especially.
We're with Dr. Alexander Fleming with Independence Health System. So that said, all right, you've determined, and I understand it really varies for each individual. It's such a unique experience. What do you do to help people get through concussions, and what are the treatment options?
So the treatments are individualized, like you said, especially with the amount of different patients we see here, from younger athletes to some of the older motor vehicle accidents, slip and falls, those kind of things. But the main thing that we focus on are some treatments, especially for the headaches. Sometimes there are some oral supplements that we start on or prescription-based medications to make sure the headaches are under control. There's also usually some vestibular therapy that can be beneficial for patients that are experiencing that vestibular dysfunction where your eye movements aren't synced up with your brain. Sometimes we have patients do physical therapy for their neck. And then something else that's been more common recently is called sub-symptom therapeutic exercise. This is where you're basically exercising to the point where you're not exacerbating your symptoms. And those things have all been shown to be beneficial as far as helping people feel better with their symptoms and hastening their return to normal activity or sport.
In general, Doc, what would I feel? I know it varies, but generally, if I had a concussion, what would I as an individual notice that would be an indication?
Probably the most obvious thing is a lot of patients just say, I feel off. I feel slowed down. I feel like I have brain fog. The headaches are probably the most common symptom that I see with patients. Usually that, the brain fog, and then just feeling dizzy are the most common symptoms that I see from a day-to-day basis. But that general just kind of feeling, I don't feel like myself is probably the most obvious and easiest.
All right, for young athletes, here's the big question you get all the time, Doc. When is it safe for me to return? I want to play.
Yep, exactly. So we want to make sure our athletes are getting back to their sport in a healthy and safe manner. And typically that involves passing that IMPACT test that I talked about. A lot of our local high schools complete that test with a baseline assessment. So we make sure that their testing levels have returned back at least to the baseline beforehand. We also check their balance, their eye movements. And then usually the last component is making sure that they're able to tolerate that degree of exercise without exacerbating their symptoms. So being out and going through a return to play protocol usually ensures a safe return, where they're exercising on their own and then also going through individual drills related to their sports, a non-contact practice, then a full contact practice. And typically when patients are able to pass kind of all those steps, then they're able to return to games and practice safely.
Great information. Doc, appreciate your time this morning. Keep up the great work. And I know that with the warmer weather, it gets busier. I'm just guessing there's some kind of connection there, right?
For sure. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it. Dr. Alexander Fleming, an expert in sports medicine and concussions with Independence Health System Expert Care here.
BK Morning Show, Larry Richard. Frequently we talk to people about higher education. What do you do after high school? Well, obviously a lot of kids go to college, but there is a more and more demand in some of the crafts and trades, and for people, based on the cost of that education in a college environment, it can be onerous, especially if you're not 100% sure what it is you want to do. And more young people are choosing the crafts. And from the Northern Westmoreland Career and Technology Center, we welcome Instructor George Kirk. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
As you well know, a lot of young people like hands-on. And as I understand it, welding, for instance, there's a big demand. And with what we hear, these infrastructure projects that are be going on around the region, we need young people to learn these skills, right?
More now than ever.
So walk us through what you guys do at the Northern Westmoreland Career and Technology Center.
Sure. Hey, first off, though, the reason the press came out, I just wanted to kind of give a quick thanks to our director, Dr. Hicks, Zach Smith, and Troy Gerber for Airgas. They awarded us a $9,000 grant. So we just wanted to give them a thanks. And mainly that's one of the things that we're so successful is because of our partnerships. The students come here a half day from their home schools. That's Burrell, Franklin, Valley, and Kiske, and they do a wonderful job out there as well. So the kids have an opportunity to go be iron workers, boiler makers, steam fitters, sheet metal workers. They work at all our local fabricators where they're working on bridges, power plants. There's just the Department of Defense. There's almost an endless number of amount of opportunities for them.
And we're talking about being able to earn a living wage doing these jobs for a living.
Sure, not only a living wage, but the medical and the retirement that goes along with it.
So what do the students specifically learn when they're at the technology center?
They learn all the major welding processes. Stick welding, TIG welding, MIG welding, flux core, oxy fuel cutting, blueprint reading, and naturally safety is paramount.
And how long a program and a process is it? And what kind of certification do they get, or is this just an introduction?
Well, students have the opportunity to come down here at ninth grade and spend 4 years with us. It varies to school or students. Some of them come in at 10th grade. Some of them don't find out about it till their senior year. They have the opportunity to earn the same industry certification to the same industry recognized code and standard as an adult at an industry.
So when they walk out of the Northern Westmoreland Career and Technology Center with that certification, what can they do?
That's up to them. It's almost whatever direction they want to pursue. Just like I said, with all the apprenticeships, all the local fabricators, they're just so wonderful partners. They almost come in here and they want to scoop the kids up. It's almost like a combine for sports. Where they come down here and talk to them, and the opportunities are almost endless. Also, we also promote where we just had a young lady graduate from Penn State in electromechanical engineering. We have students that go into the non-destructive testing field. So we also push that if a student wants to parlay that with higher academics, that benefits them as well.
And what kind of reaction do you get from young students who just enjoy working with their hands?
It's very well welcomed. Out here in the Alley Kiske Valley, just like there's a recipe for disaster, there's a recipe for success. And when you have solid families, safe neighborhoods, strong schools, you're going to have successful kids. And working with your hands is well received.
I would imagine, and I've seen this even locally, George, is the fact that, you know, so many kids spent so much time, and not just kids, on social media, on their phones. It's nice to put the phone down and do something literally constructive.
Very.
You like that?
It'd be nice to throw all them phones in the river. Yeah, it's nice to see them harken back, I guess, to be pre-cell phones.
Right, because it's important for safety, too, when you're in the trades, that you are focused.
Correct. And some of them, they work in areas where it's like, say, a Department of Defense or some nuclear component. They actually have to forfeit their cell phones. They're not allowed to have their cell phones in that area because of what they're working on.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, sounds like you're really enthusiastic about what you do, and the rest of us appreciate that, working with our young people.
Well, like I said, once again, we wouldn't be able to do this without our partnerships. Everywhere from our secretaries in the front office, our maintenance, our administration, our entire staff. It's just not welding. If somebody wanted to auto tech, carpentry, construction, culinary, HVAC, the whole building, they just do a wonderful job out here.
You have some young women interested, too. It's not just guys, right?
We do. My state champ was a young lady. She's a welder now, and actually the student that I was telling you about that graduated with electromechanical engineering, she was a young lady. We're seeing more and more, even in some of the apprenticeships, where the females are stepping up. They're doing very well. They're well represented.
Well, keep up the great work, George. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for having me.
You got it. George Kirk, who's an instructor there at the Northern Westmoreland Career and Technology Center, and I appreciate his genuine enthusiasm.
70-year-old Patrick Varub, the owner of Eternity Pet Memorial, is accused of swindling more than 6,500 customers by dumping their pets' remains in a landfill and giving them the ashes of other animals.
Between 2021 and 2024, Mr. Varub neglected his duty of care by deliberately and repeatedly betraying his customers who wanted a dignified service for their beloved dog or cat.
This has a lot of people upset for obvious reasons, and we'll look more into how do you know for sure that if you've gone through this process that your pet is yours.
Severe weather is in this afternoon's forecast.
Right now, we're looking at all kind of hazards being a potential damaging wind, large hail, and maybe even a tornado.
Yeah, wind gusts could reach 60 miles per hour.
Yeah, it could do a lot of damage, and we keep having these temperature swings where we're going to go to the 80s, and then by Saturday, the high will only be 57.
Penn's coach Mike Sullivan is gone, so now what? Here's GM Kyle Dubas.
We need to become faster. We need to become more talented and skilled. Those are the core overarching themes that we're going to focus on.
Yeah, and the Penguins have failed to make the playoffs three straight years after a succession and success, especially early in Mike Sullivan's tenure with two Stanley
Cup rings.
Thanks for
you know, it's really
us.
A shame
Larry
this past
Richard
season.
A
what a great season
guest.
Sidney Crosby
Normally,
had.
Lenny McAllister joins
nowhere.
Me on overshadowed by he can't hour. Be in the
What's
playoffs.
Right.
Yesterday, we were sustaining
and it seems
the planet
like every opportunity
the
he has, it turns to
Green Voice,
gold.
Pittsburgh
Just
Earth
like when they had the break in lieu of the All-Star, he played for Canada
and they ended
to move
up because of
your visit to today, which coincides with the
being
president's
all they
100th
could be.
Day,
and,
which dating back to
now
FDR
the watch
was
is
the
on.
First
Who will be the next
really, I guess,
Penguins coach
for a president?
That's going to be
that
the next
first
conversation.
Days and kind of
and I would imagine they're not
going
to wait
on,
too
Lenny,
long.
Well, I don't think
in.
So.
It's
and I also
good.
Think
always
that
good to be with you, Larry.
I'm hearing a lot of talk about Rick Tocchet, but maybe there's a surprise in the future.
Satisfied. In
we'll
general.
Find out. Thank you,
some
Paul.
Some are with achievements like the border shutdown, 94% compared to October of 2024, roughly 38 people getting in a day as opposed to 1,800.
Yeah.
And those kinds of things. But then other people expressing their displeasure over the current state of the economy and uncertainty of so many things in so many areas.
Yeah, one of the things that we have to really be mindful of, and this is a good time to pause and reflect, you look at things like immigration and the border. Things are getting done. They did not see things getting done under the Biden administration. And then again, the former vice president, Kamala Harris, was the border czar, and nothing got done for 3.5 years. A deal came in an election year. It ended up getting shot down by Republicans, and people were skeptical. What we have to balance is getting things done versus how we get things done. Within that same polling, you will see a lot more Americans saying, okay, I'm glad that immigration's being addressed, but I don't know if I like how it's being addressed. I don't know if we are taking the right steps to do this the right way, whether it's based on due process, whether it's, hey, I'm fearful that we're going to violate people's rights. You know, I can tell you from my own radio show, people use the term concentration camp more over the last 6 months than they have over the last probably 6 years, particularly when they're talking about immigration. These are things that I think, Larry, Americans are looking at and saying, okay, I want the results. I'm now more inclined to pay attention to how we're getting those results. I don't think people were paying attention to that when they were voting in November, but they certainly are a lot more now.
One of the challenges is, what is an executive order? What is the latitude granted in executive order? Because people in Congress are saying, wait a minute, we're in charge of the money. That's our part of the branch, you know, the three branches of government. They're all saying, hey, that's our job.
And they're right. But what also transpired, at least over the initial 30 to 60 days probably, is there's been an acquiescing to the executive branch. And then ever since, particularly always with the presidency, you can go all the way back to FDR, but particularly in our modern times, you go back to 9/11, there's been this expansion of power with the executive branch, where both Republican and Democratic presidents have done everything from enact economic policy to military strikes. People forget, yes, we got Osama bin Laden under President Obama. That was a military decision after a years-long campaign led by President Bush to go after Osama bin Laden. That was not something that was explicitly done as an act of war by Congress. So you have this acquiescing by the Congress, particularly the House, that's afraid of Trump voters. They know they have to run in the midterms, so they're trying to give Trump some latitude. But at the same exact time, now they're saying, okay, we're going to get blowback. We're going to take the consequences. We might as well pull some of the reins back in ourselves.
That said, by the way, tomorrow night, we're going to air a two-hour special regarding the Trump administration's first 100 days, a Newsmax special hosted by Chris Cuomo and Stephen A. Smith with Bill O'Reilly, and special appearances by RFK and President Donald Trump. By the way, Newsmax very sided and friendly with the administration, so it will be 2 hours of a love fest,
well,
I would imagine.
Well, not only that, Larry, you got Chris Cuomo, Stephen A. Smith, and you named several. It's going to be very loud.
And Bill O'Reilly.
And Bill O'Reilly, you better make sure that your volume, you're tuned in, but it's down a little bit.
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly, who was me-tooed off the air, has been trying to work his way back into, you know, some type of
relevancy
and prominent position like he once
And so is Chris
enjoyed.
Cuomo. I mean, quite honestly, the controversy with his brother at CNN and his role in kind of skirting the truth with that, I mean, and then Stephen A. Smith is trying to, this is not the first time he's tried to go from sports to politics. I worked with him back in 2010.
Did you?
Yes. We actually did a Essence Magazine feature together, several of us, including the Reverend Al Sharpton, and he and I kept in touch. This is not the first time he's trying to make this foray into politics, and now he's trying to make a foray and possibly, you know, brand himself as a possible presidential candidate. So that should be an interesting show.
And this is, anybody that criticizes the president is fake news.
Yeah, and Newsmax is trying to be the new Fox News. So, and they've been doing that for the last several years as well. And that's it. And for those that are not familiar with Newsmax, they had been around for about 20, 25 years.
Has it been that long?
They've been around for a while, but they were always like a streaming network, hard to get on cable systems, etc. But once they found the lane, it's the same way with OANN. Once they found a lane even further right than Fox News, they filled it. And that's the reason why their market share has expanded over the years.
Well, that is going to be on air tomorrow night at 8. right here on KDK. We're with Lenny McAllister. A lot more to talk about. I do want to talk about some local politics, too, because we have still another debate. But this one includes the Republican candidates, too. I know, even though it's a primary and we know history says that the Democratic primary winner becomes the next, in this case, mayor, or Ed Gainey keeps his job. We'll talk about what more can they say that hasn't been already. It's 818 in News Radio KDKA. From the Goldberg-Persky and White News Desk, let's go to Paul Rasmussen.
People with concerns about possible mass transit cuts and fare hikes are invited to a public hearing today hosted by PRT. And we'll have the latest coming up at 8:30 on the Voice of Pittsburgh News Radio KDKA.
And just a programming note. Lenny, you and I were talking about this special we're going to air about the Trump administration's first 100 days. That's tomorrow night. That's News Nation.
News Nation, yes.
We got some misinformation. Hosted by Chris Cuomo, Stephen A. Smith, Bill O'Reilly, and special appearances by RFK and the president. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Every day, weekdays, right now.
Right
now?
The
Big K Morning Show. It's Tamira Rush. What's trending, Tay?
Lady Belichick is trending.
Minute. Lady Belichick?
This is not off of Bridgerton, everybody. This is not a Bridgerton new character for season 4. So you have to listen to T. She will explain.
Yes, she went viral during a recent CBS News show Sunday morning. And this is what she had to say.
Now, you're talking about the girlfriend
of Bill Belichick. Jordan Hudson.
Head coach at North Carolina.
Listen.
New England Patriots super coach.
He has a 24-year-old hottie.
Really?
Yes.
All right,
here's Jordan. And this is how this all went down during an interview.
Lady Belichick.
The other change for Belichick is 24-year-old Jordan Hudson, his creative muse, as he writes in his book.
Make sure that that's the...
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
Period.
Who? Was that her in the
background?
Yes,
that's her in the background. She was in the, during the interview, she was sitting right there. She jumped in, she interrupted. When questions were asked of Bill that she didn't think were appropriate, and she jumped in and she shut it down. People were like, "She is his attorney," because she was in.
She must have been standing on his foot.
There's pictures.
She took Belichickian to another level because he would shut you down at a press conference with the Patriots. You'd ask him a question like, "We're on to Cincinnati." We're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Well, she took it to another level. We're just not doing that.
He just kind of looked and said,
"Yes, dear."
That's right.
Which only adds to the intrigue of people want to know. Come on, man. What's this?
I mean,
really
it seems like it's happening more than not. There are a number of older men who are dating much, much, much younger women.
What are you saying?
Some are positive.
How many muches are you
going
to put to that?
She's 24. He's 70 plus?
Oh, I agree with you. Don't get me wrong. I just was amazed. I thought two muches was what you were going to use, but one much might be too much.
I mean, I'll let the listeners decide and give their opinions on it, but I mean, it's being talked about. I mean, Deion Sanders, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say Deion Sanders. Excuse me for saying that. Shannon Sharp has his issues and concerns regarding his young 19-something-year-old woman. So, I mean, it's happening. It's not my opinion to say what I think about it, but it is happening.
Oh, your face tells us your opinion, and probably my face tells my opinion as well, and Larry is just going to stay out of this because he's going to keep his opinion to himself, because that's the safest position to have.
Exactly.
You know what? When it comes to consenting adults, they do what they want.
That is true.
So
that's a safe position to be in.
But every,
he's so
and yet,
safe.
Let's
he's
be
so
honest.
Safe.
Every woman in America is going, come on, Bill. Or Lady Belichick.
When I was moving forward with this Sanders fiasco, some things that start off bad can end up on a positive note. So his jersey sales are, he's in a top three. So people are buying Shador's jerseys. And now it's like the boycotts kind of like work. I mean, you talk about
Cleveland Brown.
Yeah. He's top three. He's ranked in the top three.
I've heard Steeler fans say they're going to buy his jersey and root for him to make it and do well. They don't necessarily want him to beat the Steelers, but they're like, look, they feel like they did him dirty.
They did.
And they feel like this is a guy to get behind. And what they bring up to you, and I'm sure you've researched this as well, is the contradiction. Like, wait a minute, when the Mannings did this with Eli Manning, this was a proud papa just putting up for his son.
Thank you so much.
And then when Dion does it, it's, you know, well, why is he interfering? And of course, that starts getting into some of the nefarious reasonings behind that. And that's where, take that in social media and add water and you...
Exactly. So I had this exact conversation with someone I will not name here at KDK Radio about the Mannings.
The Mannings.
And
that
he
was
said
like
30, 40 years ago. But
it
does that make it...
It was 20 years ago. It was only 20. It was 2004 when we got Ben Roethlisberger.
Right,
it wasn't that long
ago. Let's talk
ago.
About Bill Belichick's girlfriend again.
Anyway, and so now... People are saying that they're going to specifically buy Shador's jersey off of his site on his page.
Well, he better be as good as advertised for Cleveland, but not so good when they play the Steelers.
Oh,
they got five. They got five quarterbacks. They got Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Deshaun Watson, and some other guy they drafted.
And someone is going to have to go.
Yeah, at
eventually.
At least two.
That's right. Trending with T. Let you decide.
All right, T.
Thank you.
Thank you. You got us all. You came in here, read the whole thing up.
Come on. Step your game up, Larry. What's all up? Right.
Thank
What's
you. To Myra Rush. There you go. Lenny, see what she does?
I see it.
All right. We do want to talk about the mayoral debate. We are going to have the Democratic Party candidates, which includes the incumbent Ed Gainey and challenger Corey O'Connor. That'll be next Thursday, May 8th at 9:30.
Yep.
Lenny and I will be asking the questions, but we are asking you to help. Now, we have the free Odyssey app you hear us talk about. If you haven't downloaded it, it's a great resource, Audacy, and on the KDKA page is a microphone. And when you tap on that microphone, you can leave a question. In this case, that's what we're asking you to do. And we want you to ask some questions in your own voice. Right, Len?
Exactly. And we're looking forward to that because, again, this debate is not our debate. This debate is your debate. This is debate for the city of Pittsburgh voters that are going to choose their next mayor for the next 4 years. So we need you all to be involved. Ask the questions that you really want answered.
You got it. And... we'll have more on, there's still another debate coming up. Seems like they've had a lot of them. Is there any new ground to break? Yes, because it'll be very close to the election. The primary is coming up on the 20th of May. Oh, my special in-studio guest is Lenny McAllister, who wears many hats. One is a resident political analyst. Len, thanks for coming in and accommodating us yesterday, being on the road for Sustainable Pittsburgh and our remote event. But today is actually the 100th day of Donald Trump's second term, and we will have a special little air on News Nation tomorrow night.
Can we talk about that for just a second, Larry? And I'd love to get your opinion on this as well. This is a unique first 100 days because he's already been president. So, it's very interesting, and I think people forget about this. Evaluating Donald Trump in this presidential term is not like a normal president coming into office, particularly for the first time, because he's not an incumbent from the previous term.
True.
But he's already been president. So you have a brand that's already there. For example, the tariffs was a continuation of what he started doing in 18 and 19 before COVID. So it wasn't a brand new policy. It was just a doubling down on a policy we had seen 5 years earlier. Some of the other things, building the wall was a campaign issue slogan in 2016. This doubling down of immigration policy is something that kind of morphs back to January 2017. So even as we evaluate this first 100 days, it's kind of a first 100 days in air quotes because it's a continuation of what Donald Trump talked about as president, but also during those 4 years where he was not president and still had a huge influence on Republican lawmakers.
That said, a lot of the polls show disfavor with everything except immigration, but in some cases immigration too, because of the nature of how it's being done, in some people's opinion, above the law, because you're evoking wartime rights and other things that deny people due process.
And you're correct on that. And I think part of where people are, and I was thinking about this on the way over here, there are two type of people that voted for Donald Trump in 2024. There's the true MAGA supporter who, if you look at the polling, supports what the president's doing. They say, this is what I bought, and I actually had a coupon to get more of this if I could. Then there's the person that probably said, I don't like where the economy is in 2023 and 2024, and I just can't vote for Joe Biden. And then when they switched Biden out, said, I can't vote for the Democrats. It doesn't seem like they have their acts together. Those folks are the people that are having buyer's remorse with their votes in 2024. Those are the people that are just disapproving of everything that this president's doing. And they're also the ones that are pushing back and now getting the Democratic Party and some Republicans to start trying to push back on the president in a way that allows them to keep their seats in 2026, but also kind of forces the president to start rolling back tariffs. That's why you're hearing, you know, everybody from business people to Congress folks to the White House say, well, maybe we should roll these tariffs back. Maybe we should rescind some of the things we put into place just 30 days ago.
A few of the things that Donald Trump said he wanted to get done quickly, the war in Ukraine, he's trying to force that down Ukraine's throat.
And it's not working.
And then the other is the economy obviously hasn't really recovered yet. In some ways, the unknown, the gray area, creates a lot of anxiety on Wall Street. Then it bounces back up when he says, I'm going to roll back tariffs here. Boom. It's just on his word. And I think a lot of people are frustrated that Congress is doing very little. And they're responsible for the finances of the nation. But that's in some ways been taken out of their hands. And I'm sure a lot of them don't like it, but a lot of them are afraid to say anything about it.
They're afraid of losing in the midterm election. But let's get back to politics. It would be very interesting to see who sees themselves as the 48th president of the United States. Because if you find a couple of people that see themselves as the 48th president of the United States, they're going to start speaking out. Let's go back to a couple of weeks ago, Cory Booker. Let's go back to a few other folks that you start hearing more and more of their names going out there. Don Bacon is saying a lot out of Nebraska as a Republican that's in the majority, that is in a safe Republican seat and in a safe Republican state that is pushing back against President Trump and has been doing it for a while. The people that I think are lining up for 2028 are going to be the people that will be speaking out a little bit more, including our own governor here, who will be doing it from Harrisburg versus doing it from Washington, D.C.
You can buy a Trump 28 hat for $50, by the way.
And there's something to be said about that. There are people that would say, Larry, that's trolling people. There will also be some people that are saying, listen, Donald Trump's already told you he doesn't troll. This 51st state with Canada, you thought he was trolling. He's been serious about this. Acquiring Greenland, he's been serious about this. That whole 51st state influenced the Canadian elections just yesterday.
It did.
Where the conservatives literally snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. And now you have a liberal that's going to end up leading the country up there because of this type of sentiment. So again, now the hats, it goes back to, is it trolling? Is it a little bit of truth there or both?
Does it surprise you, though, that Canadians would be offended by that?
Yes. Everybody loves their national sovereignty. That is not just an American trait. Everybody is proud to be from where they're from. They may want to improve it. They may want to radically change it in some instances. But when it comes to who we are, plus when you're vulnerable, when you're in the position of being the little guy, and let's be honest, Canada has a lot of land, but their economy is nothing like ours. Their population is nothing like ours. And aside from a couple of big cities, they are the little guy in this dynamic. But they're going to stand up for themselves.
They're proud people. They don't want to be told they're going to... First of all, they can't just be made the 51st state.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little issue with that. They're a sovereign country, right?
Even exactly.
Though The president
and they're a NATO country on top of that.
And he has, you know, without discretion, really insulted all of our allies. All of them.
Yeah. And it's an attempt to recalibrate everything from spending with military in
Larry
NATO
Richard with our anchorman Paul Rasmussen, excited to introduce you
to our next guest. Let's just be honest, over the course of 2025, has not played out the way the Trump administration
he is a
has thought it would.
They've overplayed
their hand, and unfortunately, the rest of the world
as well as a fellow
is responding
of integrated
to us in a
Utah
way
Valley
that
University.
So far has not been favorable. Anytime the EU is talking to China about trade
with
negotiations,
our Odyssey family
that's
called
not a good thing for the United States of America, and it's not good.
He's
peace
got a book
either.
Coming out. Been there,
all right,
done that.
Tonight,
by the way, the League of Women Voters
are, the same
are hosting,
as
and this
and
is
can
at
be
Point
overcome.
Park University
you can
in their
see
playhouse on
our
Forbes,
guest, 6 to 8,
who is Dr. Greg
the
Jackson,
candidates.
On our live
they
stream, presented
incumbent
by Metropolitan
Ed Gainey,
Window Company.
Doc, good morning.
Democrat, the challenger.
Good morning. How
Allegheny
are you?
County
You've made history
Corey
fun
O'Connor,
for a lot of people, so
forums,
give us kind of
the
thumbnail of how this podcast really has taken off
West.
So yeah, we'll I kind of hit
this
the,
is the first time they've done
of rigorous
all four
research
in one
combined
place,
with
but it's
fun
two forums, the League of Women
Voters. That's what I was going
voters,
for when I created the podcast.
We will be hosting
and it's really worked
Ed Gainey
out.
And Corey
so
O'Connor
I really tell the
in the
story
Democratic
of the United
Party
States.
Debate
I
a week
start
from
my
Thursday,
very first episode with young
right
George Washington as a 22-year-old kid,
Lenny McAllister
learning
and
the hard
I
way
be
how
hosting that,
bad
and
a
we're
military
asking
situation
your input. Go to our Odyssey app,
A-U-D-A-C-Y. That starts the first Indian War.
Leave us a question.
Goldberg, Persky and White News Desk.
So
70-year-old Patrick
Barrett,
the owner of Eternity Pet Memorial, is accused of swindling more than 6,500 customers by dumping their smaller pets' remains in a landfill and giving them the ashes of larger animals.
Between 2021 and 2024, Mr. Barrett neglected his duty of care by deliberately and repeatedly betraying his customers
who
wanted a dignified service for their beloved
dog. His early military career, all of which unfolded in the Pittsburgh region. It's a fascinating story. Story.
I,
not many people
I've,
know about George Washington's
pets,
formative years
for a long time,
and before he became president, but they tell us a lot about him, don't they?
Their family
they
members.
They do.
Can't do this.
You see his tenacity,
severe
his
weather
drive. You also
is
see
in this
his
afternoon's
humility.
Forecast.
Right now,
really
we're looking at all kind of hazards being a potential damaging wind, barge hail, and maybe even a tornado.
Okay,
right, wind gusts could reach 60 miles per hour.
He says, I need to be mentored. And of course,
strong enough to do a lot of damage, so we'll keep you posted here on KDKA.
And Pence coach Mike Sullivan is gone, so now what? Here's GM Kyle Dubas.
We need to become faster. We need to become more talented and skilled. Those are the core overarching themes that we're going to focus on.
I'm recommending our brand manager, PJ Comanche,
he
as head coach.
So,
he loves
you know,
the game.
You don't mean
has
the one
answer.
Of the great
newcomers
I actually.
And he has the look. He has the look.
He's a great general.
He does.
He's really a great leader. And
we get the answers. All right, Paul, thank
general.
You. And
he lost
Lenny,
more battles
a final
than
word coming up
but
next.
The thing was his grit, his tenacity. He didn't quit, and people would follow him till the end of the earth. And when you've got that sort of gumption, well, you can even outweigh the great British Empire.
We're with Dr. Greg Jackson, who is the founder and host of the podcast History That Doesn't Suck. I'm curious, when people find out who you are, Doc, from a history standpoint, what do they feel like they want you to tell them about? What's the most interesting thing that you hear from people they want to hear?
The most interesting thing that people want to hear from me, honestly, most people, they don't know what to expect when they come to the podcast, and then they get sucked in by the storytelling. So, I suppose, you know, we talk about the event I'll be doing there in your neck of the woods. I get a number of people who will show up for VIP events. They want to chat afterward, and they do want to talk really more about the present. Not necessarily looking for me to, you know, talk politics directly in a partisan sense, but they want reassurance, I guess you could say that that today isn't so unique, that the sky is falling isn't in fact true, and that is kind of my standard spiel at this point.
We've been through rough times before as a country, is the bottom line, what you're saying, or times when everything and very little in any part of history did everything line up perfectly.
Correct. It's, I mean, it both amuses and frustrates me, I guess you could say. You know, when I meet people who say, oh, it's never been worse. Things are so awful. And, you know, of course, my go-to response, and there's so many other things I point to, though. I mean, there was a civil war. I really don't think that we're doing worse than shooting at each other just yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's so many examples, whether you want to talk about disparity and, you know, income inequality. Okay, the Gilded Age was atrocious in that regard. You want to talk about presidents using executive power. I mean, it doesn't matter which party you're talking about. We can reach into both. Conflict in Congress. You know, Charles Sumner was nearly killed in the actual U.S. Capitol when Congressman Preston Brooks took his cane and bashed him into a bloody heap. I think that was a pretty contentious interaction between two members of Congress. So, yeah, the examples just don't end, whatever category you're looking at.
Dr. Jackson, I see that you're going to be in Pittsburgh coming up on Sunday, and I was hoping you could tell us a little bit about what that's like for someone who comes to hear you speak.
Yeah, so I cover about 100 years of U.S. history in 100 minutes. We start with George Washington, right out by you. We open with the Battle of Fort Necessity, and from there, we follow the idea of the Union itself. That is the main character of the show. And the audience sees, as you know, individual personalities come and go within that 100-year span that we fly through, with brief stops for very close looks at certain figures. But you see that the idea of a union was itself a kind of a crazy notion before and during the Revolution. It barely comes together. And then it barely stays together as we make a constitution. And then all sorts of sections, New England even, considers seceding at various points. And so we then get to the Civil War, and of course we get through that, and that's where the show ends in the aftermath. And people walk out with a sense of, you know, realizing, oh, it's never been easy to keep such a great variety of states and people together, but it's also always been worth it. And there are common things that unite us as Americans. So people tend to walk out feeling both a little more aware and more hopeful about the present.
Well, we highly recommend, instead of doom scrolling, listening to this podcast with Dr. Greg Jackson. And again, you will be in town this Sunday. Doors open at 7, 8 o'clock at the Carnegie Library Lecture Hall. And to do your 100 years in 100 minutes, really cool. And I know a lot of people probably have heard of your podcast, but if not, they'll search it through our beautiful free Odyssey app. Right, Doc?
No, that's right.
All right, well, safe travels to the Berg. It's Marathon Sunday. So after everyone runs and they're exhausted, they can just come and relax and learn something too. Safe travels.
Better way to relax. Thank you so much.
You got it. History that doesn't suck with Professor Greg Jackson.
What's not to like, Larry?
Enter the KDKA Radio contesting page now for a chance to win 2 tickets to the Pittsburgh Power and Fitness Festival coming next weekend. That's Sunday, May 11th at the David Lawrence Convention Center. Jim Mannion, in his 50th year, he and his grandson, Tyler Paul, operate, I think it's about 800 shows worldwide a year. And it all started here in Pittsburgh. So if you've seen these powerlifting and they have all these categories, hundreds of thousands of dollars in prize money, the most successful, I guess, physical specimens on the planet are going to be in Pittsburgh next weekend, and you and I should be among them.
What, like on the sidelines cheering them on? Or?
Yeah. In fact, next Monday, Jim's going to come in and we're going to talk to him and his grandson. That's quite an accomplishment for 50 years. And
800 events yearly.
Yeah, and this is going to be bigger this year than the Arnold Classic, which they do every year in Columbus, Ohio with Arnold Schwarzenegger, which Jim has been a part of as well. So a couple of things I wanted to share. And I thought this was maybe the most significant thing that happened this past weekend in terms of impact on people. And that was, I have emceed this Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation gala. I've been involved for 30 years. Over that time, many innovations have come for diabetics. And a lot of it funded by the research. Jim Rooney was the honoree this year. He's been a type 1 diabetic since the age of 10.
Well, you had him as a guest talking about this not long ago.
But what he said was so significant. And by the way, they set a record for fundraising, over $1.7 million Saturday for now breakthrough T1D research. And the research that's being done here can change the world. Here's what Jim had to say when I asked him about it Saturday.
We have the basics of a cure. We have the islet cell transplants, which the islet cells are what produce insulin in our bodies. Right here in Pittsburgh, we have some of the top researchers and transplant surgeons working on making sure it's effective and sustainable in our bodies.
And Jim, what do you say to parents that are going through this with their kids right now?
First, I say it's okay for things to be tough. There are always going to be tough times with diabetes, but you need the hopes, you need the smiles, you need to make sure that you're finding the times that are fun, that you get to enjoy that time with the family, that if it's your child, that they're getting as normal experience as they can. I think it's critical that your life is lived as much, whatever normal is, as much as normal can be, because we're going to be close and we're going to have a cure. If you're under 10, I think you're going to live most of your life with a cure with diabetes.
That is so exciting. It really is. And the fact that it might be coming out of Pittsburgh to help the world makes it even sweeter.
Yes, Larry. Me and you talk a lot about things in Pittsburgh. There's great fun things with football and beauty of this town and everything else. But the medical research, the miracles that are coming out of Pitt and CMU and the work they're doing together really makes this a special place.
And again, Jim Rooney. And that was significant. They really do believe that there is a cure that's imminent.
And this is for type 1 juvenile diabetes.
Correct.
Right? Yep.
And let me share some more encouraging news from the medical front. In this one about certain cancers, CBS's John LaPook.
When a biopsy revealed cancer in Bruce Nollmeyer's left kidney, he braced himself for the worst.
When you were a kid and you heard the word cancer, it scared the daylights out of you.
But Nollmeyer learned his cancer had an unusual genetic trait that made him eligible for an experimental trial at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. Over 6 months, he had 9 intravenous treatments to harness his immune system.
They did a CT scan, and they came back, and they said they don't see the tumor.
And when you heard that, what did you think?
I couldn't believe it could work that quick, to be honest.
He's part of the study that could fundamentally change the way we treat certain cancers. Here's how it worked. Cancers with a certain mutation are able to put the brakes on our immune system, allowing a tumor to grow. This new treatment is an antibody that releases those brakes so the immune cells can attack the cancer.
Did you ever imagine you'd get this kind of response?
Dr. Andrea Sirsak and her team have completed a study in 103 people with various early-stage solid tumors in sites such as the rectum, colon, esophagus, and urinary tract that contain an unusual genetic mutation.
And of those, what percentage did not need any further treatment?
80% of them didn't need any further treatment. So no surgery, no chemo, no radiation, just immunotherapy.
Only 2-3% of all early solid tumors have the same mutation targeted in this trial. So the next step for researchers is testing the drug as part of a cocktail of other immunotherapy agents.
The goal really is to try to minimize that toxicity in survivorship, still cure the patients, but without all the toxicity from our treatments.
Dr. John LaPook, CBS News, New York.
And I love how they talk about unlocking the body's defense mechanism so it can go after the cancer.
Right. Apparently, as I understood, certain cancers have an ability to block or mask your body's ability to fight, you know, with your own immune system.
When they say cancer is smart, this is what they're talking about.
So those were two incredible stories of hope for type 1 diabetics and people with certain cancers. So if you're fighting the fight, there is real promise on the horizon. We'll check in with Marty here in the next few minutes. The 100 days of Donald Trump, part two in his second term. And we are joined by CBS's Natalie Brand. Natalie, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
I guess since FDR, this was the measure for a president, but it's unusual in this case because Donald Trump was already president once before. We've already been through a series of 100 days. So how do we break it down?
Well, I think we can break it down by some numbers, namely signing 140 executive orders, which is just a huge expanse of executive power. If you compare the Trump's second administration to the first and what he was able to accomplish in the first 100 days. But, you know, in talking to political analysts, they point out, as you well know, that these are executive actions that could easily be undone by future administrations that disagree with his policy position. So really, what people are waiting to see is what kind of meaningful change can be enacted through legislation, through the president working with Congress. And you know, that remains to be seen, though we know that the administration trying to make progress on, you know, what's been touted as the one big beautiful bill encompassing tax policy, border security, defense spending, and energy policies as well.
As you well know, one of the things President Trump ran on was securing the border. That part, at least from a number standpoint, has been successful in stemming the tide of illegal immigration, apparently. But there are other questions, like sidebar questions. Why did he choose suddenly to change the name of the Gulf of Mexico or a mountain that was, you know, Denali is, you know, why all of these things all at once and creating a lot of anxiety and confusion in the process?
Yeah, and this is, you know, the administration's messaging of America First. As you noted, you know, on border security, they've really come out with firm and strict policy on trying to secure the border, ramp up mass deportations. That was a campaign promise. The administration's border czar announced yesterday that in the first 100 days, there have been around 139,000 deportations. Now, as you also know, some of those cases are working their way through courts. Critics have raised, and attorneys and courts have raised concerns about due process there. We also know that, you know, another key issue, namely, you know, arguably the number one issue that the president ran on was the economy. And if you look at our new CBS News polling, his ratings on approval of Trump's handling of the economy have declined somewhat in recent weeks. If we look at the March numbers, it was at 51%. Now, according to our latest poll, just at 42%. And there's a lot of anxiety specifically over tariff policy. More than 60% of people surveyed said that they felt like the administration was spending too much time, too much focus on tariffs and not enough on lowering prices, tackling inflation, which the president also promised to do. Today, to mark 100 days, the president will be traveling to a key battleground county within Michigan, of course, a key battleground state, a hub of auto manufacturing. And, you know, tariffs are top of mind there. We learned today, just confirmed this morning, that the administration will be taking steps to ease some of the tariff impacts on the auto industry. We're waiting for details on that. But, you know, it's clear that the administration is trying to react in real time to the concerns that it's hearing, you know, from these powerful sectors as it tries to enact its massive economic strategy, largely around tariffs.
Well, Natalie, as you know, no shortage of stories to cover when it comes to this administration. You need a detail, almost a scorecard to cover all of the, would you say, 148 executive orders?
140 so far, but you know, this new tariff one, we're expecting another one today. So it seems like they keep coming by the day. Obviously, there's a lot to track, a lot to dig into. And political analysts also believe that's part of the strategy as well, to kind of flood the zone. One professor of political management put it as the political equivalent of shock and awe.
Natalie Brand with CBS. Appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
And coming up, we'll check in with Mark.
News Desk, Patrick Virab, the owner of Eternity Pet Memorial, is accused of swindling more than 6,500 customers by dumping their smaller pets' remains in a landfill and giving them the ashes of larger animals.
Between 2021 and 2024, Mr. Virab neglected his duty of care by deliberately and repeatedly betraying his customers who wanted a dignified service for their beloved dog or cat.
So what is, for each of those 6,500 plus, recourse? That's the question.
How do you give people back their...
There's an element of that you can't.
Yeah.
Can I jump in real quick? When I was in Texas, true story, an employee came to me from a crematory. Same deal, except they were taking dead bodies of people who died.
People.
Cremating them. Whereas he had a big box, would take two scoops, like Raisin Bran, no kidding, and give them to any family randomly. I had employees inside with hidden cameras, and we showed that. I would be deeply concerned about anyone that had anyone managed by this funeral home, right? Forget the money. Yep. What a horrendous way to hurt people.
And he has a funeral home
just
as well.
Just rip their hearts out, Raz.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Man. Anyway.
Severe weather in this afternoon's forecast.
Right now, we're looking at all kind of hazards being a potential damaging wind, large hail, and maybe even a tornado.
Wind gusts could hit 60 miles an hour.
And when he mentions tornado, you know that's not an idle because we idle threat. I mean, we've had those more than our share already this year.
So far, we've reached a gust of 23 miles per hour out of the airport. Penn's coach Mike Sullivan's gone. So now what? Here's GM Kyle Dubas.
We need to become faster. We need to become more talented and skilled. Those are the core overarching themes that we're going to focus on.
Let me throw this by Marty. Marty, I'm going to put our brand manager, PJ Komanchik's hat in the ring to be the new Pens coach.
Whoa. He knows that cocky crap.
I knew you were going to say that. Thank you, Paul.
That's silly deck hockey. Is that even a sport?
More with
oh, boy.
Marty coming up.